Hey, this is Fish and Frank. Welcome back. Another thing of Radio Fishing. We have Captain Morris with us. And Morris, we're going to talk about offshore fishing.
Hey, good morning.
So, what's going on in the Gulf right now?
You got a bunch of different things going on. We fished a little bit there last week, and there was blackfin tuna in 42 feet of water just off of the Boca Grande buoy.
Really?
Nice 25-pound fish. We caught probably 30 snapper, mangrove mostly.
How far out?
A couple of lanes. We got most of the snapper in 60 feet. And okay. There's some really nice gag groupers out there, but gag grouper season is closed now because they're so endangered.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I always think it's funny. Now, we have these lionfish, which are super evasive species, and they say, okay, everybody go out and fish for lionfish. We cannot fish those out, but for some reason or other, we can fish everything else out.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, the state in its mystical, magical ways. So anyway, you've hit those blackfin. That's really close.
It is. Normally the closest I catch those with any consistency is in the 50, 60-foot range. And, those are targeted with live bait. And that's what we caught that blackfin tuna on was live white bait. We were chumming heavily for kingfish, and that thing showed up.
So how's the kingfish doing out there?
And before this last front, kingfish were fine, and there were some pretty big kingfish as well. But most of the kingfish catches were in that 10 to 20-pound range.
Small, but still tasty.
Very good eating kingfish for that size.
Yeah, you're out there, you're really looking for that 30, 50-pounder, but, you know, it's still the little ones are actually really tasty. To me, it's weird because, like, the little kingfish and stuff, I almost prefer them. But with snook, I prefer the 40-some inchers. To me, they taste better, eat better. I don't know why. Snook's just a weird fish for me.
Mm-hmm. It's been so long since I've eaten a 40-inch snook. I couldn't tell you on that one.
Well, I could be wrong because it's been a long time. But I just remember those marvelous dinners with everybody sitting around and those big chunks of snook and how tasty it was. Mm-hmm. But now you can still do some, red grouper's still going to be open, isn't it?
Yeah, red grouper will be open, and there are quite a few of those. You can target those this time of year. You need to be in about 80 or 90 feet of water to consistently catch nice red grouper.
What kind of bait are you using?
I always target grouper with live bait. I know a lot of guys use cut baits and everything, but I traditionally use live cigar minnows. I use live squirrel fish, pinfish, grunts. Yeah, basically we sabiki those, so we have a fresh supply every trip. And we also catch a lot of grouper on soft plastics. You know, we use the Cody 3/8 ounce heads. And
3/8 ounce heads in 60, 80 feet of water.
Yes, that's because we're targeting them with the 4,000 size, the Cabo 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And small spin rods.
Well, now that would make sense, using what, 20-pound braid?
Yeah. 20-pound.
So you've got light line. You can let 3/8 will drop you down with that bait fish on it. It's actually going to the bottom.
Yeah, and for the majority of the grouper we catch with that, they're going to be gag grouper. But we do catch some big red groupers on that. I've caught reds up around 20 pounds on those little spin rods.
That's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun.
It's epic battle.
I mean, I go out. I have to have frozen sardines and squid with me. Mm-hmm. I have to, or I don't feel right. And it kind of appeases the gods. If I don't take something with me, I can't find anything out there. So I've always got that frozen sardines and squid. Now, if you go to the Keys, it's ballyhoo and squid. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Panhandle, it's cigar minnows and squid. But around here, the sardines really seem to be the ticket. Don't know why that is.
Mm-hmm. So live Spanish sardines are particularly good for a grouper.
I don't think anything doesn't like live Spanish sardines. Yeah. When you get live sardines, you pretty much have your choice of any fish you want to catch.
Yeah, that's epic snook bait, too.
Yeah, I mean, about every 3 years, we get a run of sardines into the harbor.
Yes.
And I think the reason it's every 3 years is because when they come in, they're so thick, you throw the net, you can't catch 20 of them. You're going to catch 200, 500, 800. You can't lift the net up. Most of them die. I think we just kill them off so fast when they come in. It takes them about 3 years to rebuild.
That's probably an accurate assessment of it. I think if people would throw and just dump a little partial net full into their live well and dump the rest, they would be a lot better off.
Oh, when I, after the first couple times I got in the sardines, once I saw them up, how heavy the net was, I would take a little bit of the net, hold one side, take a little bit of the net, grab it, dump it in the boat, get about 50 or 100 in the boat, and then just try and open the net up so the rest of them would swim out. But they're so delicate.
Yeah.
And they just die. And I always felt bad about that, but I did learn how to get part of it into the boat because I couldn't lift it anyway.
That's right.
The first time I ever did it, I lifted them up. They were all dead from the weight of the other sardines on top of them. They just crushed themselves. So it's kind of a weird thing, but the best bait ever. I've never seen anything catch fish like live Spanish sardines.
Spanish sardines are the optimum bait for offshore here in the Gulf of Mexico. Oh,
inshore, offshore. I'm not going to regulate that. But if you were just going to head out here close, let's say Mary's, Trembly, something like that, somewhere in close power poles, what would be your tactics?
Well, right now is a premium time to catch cobia on those little nearshore reefs and wrecks. You could target with some live pinfish. I would freeline some and fish a couple on the bottoms. And, you know, you could always take some live shrimp with you as well because, you know, when we're snapper fishing, we use a live shrimp. And the live shrimp produce mangrove snapper, yellowtails, lane snappers. And I guess the live shrimp are kind of like my sardines and squid. I don't leave home without those.
Right.
And if I do, I'm always, oh man, I wish I had those.
Yeah, because that's where all your best snappers and everything are to come from. And they don't have to be monster shrimp either. They can be, you know, modest sized shrimp and still do real good. Absolutely. I just dropped the hook size down a little bit, and I still do real good with them. I'm using, me on the snappers, I'm using 30, 40 pound test leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used a 30 fluorocarbon leader. And if we're in yellowtail snapper, and usually we wouldn't be on the power poles for yellowtails, we'd be a little further offshore in 60, 80 feet, 100 feet. We would go down as low as 10 or 15 pound if the yellowtails were spooky because we're chumming as well, which is an important part of snapper fishing. And the yellowtails will come right up to visit you right behind the boat. And if you're too heavy with your leader, you know, they'll ignore your offering.
Yeah, well, that's getting to be true of a lot of fish. I mean, fish don't really learn that well, but if they get the same thing every day, many, many times during the course of a day, it's just like anything else. Over time, they've learned that if a shadow comes over the top of them, that means a predator, a bird, something's going to dive and eat them. And just learn behavior. And we do teach fish. I mean, we've been doing this over 100 years now, recreational fishing. And so fish do tend to catch on after, you know, 20 or 30 or 50 years of something going on.
Yes, they do, especially the ones that don't get caught.
Yeah, and those are the ones you'd really like to see.
That's right.
So anyway, I've been talking with Morris. What's your, just kind of a final thought? If you were going to go this week, what would you do?
Well, it seems that we have an early week cold front coming through, which will probably rough the offshore waters up a little bit. But it looks like the rest of the week is panning out to be a very good week with 60-degree mornings and 80-degree days. So I would just be mindful of fog because with the cooler temperatures, we're going to be setting up for some heavy sea fog at times. Offshore, I would target a little further offshore than most right now because gag grouper are closed. If you fish inside of 60 feet, you're going to catch just about all gag grouper. You'll catch a few keeper reds, but mostly gags. So I would start looking in 70 feet, 68 to 70, and go on out, you know, as far as you're comfortable with, 90, 100 feet, and just find the Swiss cheese bottom and catch the red grouper. And always put a bait out on top, like a live Spanish sardine, like we were talking about earlier, blue runner.
Pinfish under a bobber?
Pinfish are okay, but you know, you really like that sardine, scad kind of bait, cigar minnow, blue
even runner. A thread fin, if you can
thread herring,
some thread fins.
Thread herrings are very good for that as well, and they're good for chumming purposes too.
Well, now the only thing is, I usually got to put them under some kind of float. Otherwise, they just keep going down, so I'm big on floats out there.
Uh-huh. We normally use, if we're going to float a bait out, we'll use a small balloon instead of a bobber. That way that's not on, we'll rig that with a simple slip knot in the line where when the fish pulls, that knot will actually cut the balloon and release the balloon.
See, now what I do is I'm using the slip bobber with a bobber stop, because a lot of times I want the bait down about 10, 15 feet. So what I'm doing is putting a string stop on to my sliding bobber. Mm-hmm. That way I can just cast him out, and the line goes through the bobber, drops down. I'm not using a big float because I don't care if he takes the bobber down. So I'm using a smaller float, more like I would for trout fishing or something, but a sliding bobber. And that way I can put it on that decent spinning rod, throw it out there, let it drop to depth, and just not worry about it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that bobber stays at the top. He gets a little tired of dragging that down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, this is Morris. Captain Morris has been with us talking about offshore fishing, and I'm Fishing Frank. And we'll see you on the next edition of Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening.